My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is another episode of Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates. It's a podcast where a creator, a veteran creator, I guess one could say, I've been at this for, the entire century so far, talks to you about what's been going on in my creative life. I try to come at things from the spirit of an experienced beginner, right? And hope that my experiences have some sort of value for you. Hopefully there are teachable moments in my successes and my failures and my challenges and my just what happens. So, it's August 26th, 2025. It's around, I don't know, 5:30 in the early evening. I'm on my patio. You might hear the easy up rustling in the light breeze that we have going on here. In the external extension of the lush and lavish studios of MWS Media in Southern California. So it's been a space of time since we last spoke. The majority of August has been very busy, mostly with client stuff. My day job is helping other creators bring their creations to fruition and to market and to an audience. This month, I've been working with another coach who works with people in the professional sort of marketing, graphic design end of the creative economy. He helps those people kind of manage their careers and their aspirations in a professional sense. I've been helping him with various things, from website stuff to research to a little bit of editing, and I'm grateful to be able to say this, and I think it's fair to say, being a bit of the therapist for the therapist. I've got a different perspective, as we all do, from what he might be accustomed to. So I'm pleased and grateful that there have been moments where my 58 years on the planet and my 25 to 30 years, depending on how you count it, of being a creator have provided value to him. I'm also working with a gentleman whose first book is coming out, a nonfiction book on the intersection of climate change and health, and building his website in time for the book launch. What else is going on? I've got my regular clients, including a writing coach and television writer, sought-after speaker, author, and a psychologist. Anyway, and as of a couple of days ago, I'm doing the ebook, the paperback, and the audiobook production for another brand new writer's first work of fiction, first book at all. August has been packed. August has been busy. We also had we had a house guest here at the house, and just, you know, the day-to-day in and out of all the stuff. I have not been able to find this time and the space to really just kind of sit down and talk to y'all. And in terms of my own creative endeavors, that is one of the things that's been kind of on my mind about what we might talk about today. I am happiest, and I think most in my element as a creative person, when I can do what I like to call and I'm sure I'm not the first person to call it this. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm coining a term right now. Who knows? Free range creativity, right? There are many, many, many creative projects that I have kind of on my personal roadmap. And I like to dip in and out. I like the process of learning that comes along with pure creativity. I mentioned, I think, last episode that I've always been very much a sort of a just-in-time learner, right? And that's so true when I'm in the middle of a creative project, whether it's writing or world building that is so often intrinsic to my writing, my fiction writing, whatever it might be, there may be tangents. And though that sort of style, that sort of free-range creativity means that I need time to do that, and I need space and the opportunity to have deep focus, right? To hold on to many, many, many different things at once, kind of in my head, to percolate and let stir and surface and submerge. And, you know, there's this tectonic element to the way I think, well, I'll speak for myself, the way my creativity works, things being subsumed and raised up and split and brought together, and, you know, the continents are constantly moving, right? And new territories are being generated out of old, and sometimes out of whole cloth, right? I think you get the analogy, right? That takes time, and it takes space, and it takes energy. And I don't think I'm alone in this approach. I'd love to hear from you. Of course, you know, you can leave a comment, however you might be consuming this, whether you're watching on YouTube or you've subscribed in the podcast app or device of your preference, or you go to mattselznick.com and just comment in the show notes for this episode. Are you like that? Are you a free-range creator? Tell me what your practice is like. Tell me what your practice is like, and tell me what the challenges are that you face in pursuing your particular way of creating, your particular sort of, well, ideal way of creating, right? I guess it's a kind of like tinkering, right? It's kind of a form of tinkering. And it all kind of comes together, for me at least, as one sort of massive project, body of work, I guess you would say. Especially when it comes to my fiction, it's all connected. Now, that's not to say that at a certain point you don't need to, you know, buckle down and focus primarily on one thing, one aspect of the mega project, whether that's, you know, a book or a story or a song or whatever it might be. And, you know, dedicated and consistent and committed work absolutely has its place. But I got to have room to play around, too. I got to have room to explore the side paths and to kind of wade around in the tide pools, not just sail the big tall ship. The only other thing I'll say is about that in particular, I really would appreciate your comments, because I would like to gauge how many people out there who experience the Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates podcast, how many people are similar? Because I think I have an inkling of an idea, instinctually, that I'm not alone in this. But thinking that I'm not alone in this, I would like to create something that offers some help for people who are free-range creators. But before I put too much effort into that, I'd like to know that my instinct, that my gut feeling is correct, and that you are out there, and that you have specific challenges related to practicing free-range creativity. So reach out, you know. If you are, as most people do, if you are consuming this podcast in a podcast app, the show notes with all the links are right there on your app. If you're watching on YouTube, of course, the comment box is right there below the video. And if you receive this through the Multiversalists community, my mailing list community, then, of course, you can just reply to the email, right? Let me know what you think about how you create. Are you a free-range creator? And what does that mean for you? And what are the challenges that you face in trying to pursue free-range creativity? I appreciate it. The other thing that's been on my mind that I've been thinking about is the concept of the origin story. As part of an exercise that helps people, creators, sort of glean who their target audience, if you're not watching the video, I just made air quotes, who their intended audience is. Let's put it that way. As part of an exercise to determine that, and also to sort of define how one communicates one's intention to that audience, it's often recommended to come up with, and I don't mean invent, but articulate and quantify one's origin story. You know, how did one get to the point where one created the thing that one wants other people to consume, to buy, to listen to read, whatever it might be? Marketers and entrepreneurs will often also do this because it is an instrument of marketing to sort of have this origin story down pat. It's kind of like the elevator pitch, but for your life and your inspirations in connection to the thing you're elevator pitching about, right? But I've been thinking, about my own life, my own creative history. I'm 58 years old, newly 58, and I have had several origin stories, and I don't think I'm done with origin stories. And again, I don't think I'm alone in that. If you're alive and you have lived really any amount of time, you have gone through changes. You have gone through periods of growth and crisis and celebration and transformation and stagnation. And if with enough time and perspective, and I'm not saying you have to be in your 50s to arrive at this, but with enough time and inclination to reflect, I think we can all see that there are that we've had several origin stories. There's something to that. I think part of it is the idea that if one is embarking on a creative path, perhaps late in life, and by the way, late in life could mean anything. It doesn't have to mean you're actually middle-aged or old or elderly, and your first, it's your first time, you know, tapping at the keyboard or strumming a guitar or whatever. I've heard people in their late 20s and 30s talk about how it's too late for them to do this or that or the other thing. And I call shenanigans on that, of course. But my point is, I think the idea of when we start and when we're allowed to start, honestly, feeding our soul, right? Embracing a creative life. I think the idea of that, it's not a number so much as a mindset or a matter of conditioning, perhaps. And so the concept that we might have multiple origin stories, or, you know, one could say maybe the realization that we all have multiple origin stories, I think, and I'm talking to you really just to kind of suss this out for myself, I think that if we embrace that idea, if we recognize that, if we figure out what our origin stories have been and what those chapters of our lives have brought, then that can be encouraging. That can be inspiring and incentivizing for folks who maybe feel like it's either too late to begin or they have to wait to begin to create. I'm mulling this over. The thing that I have to say about this has been nagging at me in the back of my head for a couple of months at least now. And this is the first time I've kind of articulated it, and especially the first time that I've suddenly think about it, you know, in a public forum. Same thing, right? I don't care how old you are. If you feel as if you can look at your life and say, ah, this is my origin story as a creator. This is the reason I create, or this is how I came to be driven to create this particular thing, right? A few months back, I helped a first-time author, a memoirist, bring, I won't say their life story, to fruition as a book, because they're not, you know, their life's not over. A big chapter of their life, several big chapters of their life. Certainly their origin story, of one aspect of their life. That's not going to be their only origin story. So, as with the other question about free-range creativity, I'd like to know, what are your origin stories? Have you ever articulated them? Have you ever looked into your own sort of psychological and chronological makeup and thought, yeah, this is why I do this thing. This is why I am a creator, an author, a painter, a musician, whatever it might be. What is that story? Are there other stories beyond that first, that original story, that also factor into your creativity? Are you in the middle of an origin story right now for a new chapter? And what's that going to mean for your ongoing creativity? Is it scary? Most moments in our life that prove to be transformative are not easy. What's going on? And I guess also, have you ever thought of it in these terms? And just what do you think? I know this one's a little more vague, right? And I'm asking you to perhaps contribute information that might make you feel a little vulnerable. So, you know, at your comfort level. But what do you think of the idea of multiple origin stories in your creative life? And how that connects with when you began being actively creative, or how does it factor into when you will begin to be actively creative? As always, just like with the other stuff, you can find links to comment in the show notes for this show, which you can see at mattselznick.com, mattselznick.com. You can see those show notes in the podcast app that you use to listen to and consume this show. You can see those show notes at mattselznick.com. You will receive those show notes if you're on the mailing list, and you can see ways to do that in the show notes and at mattselznick.com. And of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, then you can simply comment like you do on the YouTube. While we're thinking about it, however you consume this show, if you could like and subscribe, right? That is those are the two things that are universal, whether it's YouTube or an audio podcast, especially subscribing. Subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast. Of course, it's free. Leave your comments. And, depending on the platform, press that like button. But really, subscriptions... You following this show, you opting into receiving this new episodes of Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates whenever it appears in your podcast app or on YouTube in your subscription notifications, that really helps. It helps me know how many of you are out there, of course, but also it helps bring up the show in terms of how well it's noticed on the various platforms. Oh, did I mention this? I'm a little distracted because there's stuff going on in the neighborhood here. But also, of course, you can always simply reach out to me with your thoughts by emailing me at matt@mattselznick.com. matt@mattselznick.com. Those are the things that are on my mind. Those are the things that have been, that haven't been out of my mind. And so that's always a signal, right? That these are things that should be pursued a little bit. But I have been doing more than just thinking about creativity in the month of August. I mostly in the evenings, using the last little bit of energy and mental capacity that I might have at the end of the day, I've been working on what I perhaps self-servingly call the Selznick Universal Story World System, which is in turn part of the Selznick Universal Story World engine or environment. Could stand for either one. The first one, SUSS or SUS, is a framework for quantifying different elements in your fictional story worlds. People, places, things, animals, robots, monsters, characters, of course, whatever. It's going to depend on what your story is. But sort of one system of accounting, if you will, to relatively rate and compare each thing. Which is also a way to build up your story world Bible, you know, the collection of data about your fictional worlds. It's a way to have all that stuff in a an internally consistent way. Some of you might be thinking, that kind of sounds like a role-playing game system, which also is fundamentally a set of rules and guidelines to quantify characters and things and creatures and items and buildings and places and robots and cars and whatever. And you'd be right. The Selznick Universal Story World System is also potentially a tabletop role-playing game rules set. However, I'm not, how do I put this? It is definitely inspired by that concept. You know, that there are statistics and attributes and traits that one can assign to anything, that define it in a way that is relatively comparable to everything else that's also defined using those same attributes, traits, what have you. It is like a role-playing game in that sense. But unlike a role-playing game, the intention is to quantify. The primary intention is to be able to put everything down in a way that can be easily looked at and said, oh yeah, okay, well, you know, this character is not just this tall, but compared to this other character, they are a little bit stronger. And to be able to see these things at a glance, you know, they're a little faster. They have these specific skills and they're this good or this bad at those skills compared to this other character. Unlike a role-playing game, I have no interest in balanced rules, right? Because life isn't like that. Fiction isn't like that. So I'm not interested in making sure that, like a role-playing game, that there's... And how do I explain this, especially to folks who don't really play or have ever played tabletop role-playing games, which, by the way, again, I should mention, if you have not, I'm talking about things like Dungeons & Dragons, where folks sit around and basically tell an interactive story guided by the game master, sort of the referee, and constrained by the rules of the system that everybody's agreed they're playing with. Dungeons & Dragons is probably the most established and commercially most familiar example of this. There are many others. These games are designed to be fair, right? Things might not always go the players' way. The players portray characters in these interactive stories. But the rules of these games are usually designed in such a way that you gotta be pretty irresponsible and stupid and exceptionally unlucky for things to go catastrophically bad. Because the idea is to have fun. The idea is to play a game, to not have just horrible things happen to the character that you represent in the game. But again, fiction's not like that. Life's not like that. Life is not balanced. A 7-year-old kid could suddenly find themselves encountering, you know, an adult murderer and have zero chance of survival. In a role-playing game, there's almost always a chance of survival, right? That's an extreme example, but I think you see what I'm saying. The Selznick Universal Story World system is not interested in gameplay, but simply quantifying in a way that different elements in your story world can be compared and weighed against one another. So I've been working on that. I don't need to do it out of whole cloth because there's a wonderful generic role-playing game sort of toolkit called FUDGE. It used to stand for Freeform Universal Universal... I don't remember what it stood for. But I'll find out and I'll put it in the show notes. You can figure it out there. FUDGE is freely available on the web and is licensed in such a way that folks can use it with proper credit in their own projects. So I'm using it as a baseline because it is very conducive to what I would like to do. And it's extremely flexible and it can be changed and adapted and molded. Rather like a big, goopy pile of fudge. The Selznick Universal Story World system is the sort of nuts and bolts of the Selznick Universal Story World engine or environment. I have not decided. SUS is the mechanical part of SUSE, S-U-S-E, SUSE. SUSE is the larger sort of framework to actually record your story world. Indeed, it's sort of a one-stop home for not just your story worlds, your story world Bibles, all the things one needs to know. And by one, I mean the author needs to know and keep track of in their novels, especially if you have novels and short stories and novellas and novelettes and plays and who knows what else, any kind of narrative storytelling, especially if you have multiple pieces of narrative storytelling that all take place in the same story world, a series of books, a franchise of video games or films, comic book series, what have you. SUSE, the Selznick Universal Story World engine or environment, is that place kind of a combination of a database and a wiki and a documents folder, right? A documents repository, where you not only have all the information about your story worlds, you also have all the information, including the story itself, about the story. The outline, the character sheets, the character outlines, the notes on setting, research materials, all of that. If you are an author or a writer, especially one who writes fiction, you may be thinking, this sounds a kind of a lot like Scrivener. Well, yes and no. In fact, my desire to create this thing came from a dissatisfaction with products like Scrivener. The biggest two sort of benefits to what I'm building that I can think of is, number one, everything is essentially plain text. There's no proprietary formats. There's no, you will use a particular program to access and create all this stuff, but you could also access any of it in a plain text editor, which makes it all future-proof. Since it's all plain text, it's also infinitely searchable. Self-referential, much like a wiki, right? So documents can refer to one another. Indeed, even sections of documents can refer to other documents or other sections. So imagine having your manuscript, and as often as you want, when a character's name appears in the manuscript, it can be a link that takes you to their character information. You could have different character sheets, let's call them, for different books that character appears in, because, again, just like life, they're not exactly the same from book to book. They have multiple origin stories. You like how I brought that back? That's the callback, they call that. Anyway, I've been talking about this for probably a couple of years now. And I had a couple false starts creating it. But it's the thing that I've been most actively sort of tinkering on in those stolen moments when I'm able to. And as often happens with me, it takes a couple false starts and it takes extensive tinkering to kind of get to the point where, all right, I think I know what's going on here. I think I know what I'm doing. I think I know what I don't want to do. I think I know what might work. I definitely know what's not working. I need to suss it out, right? So that's what I've been doing. It's been very satisfying because, in a way, it is that free-range creativity that I so crave. And I've been grabbing it where I can and how I can. Because that's what you got to do. All right. 40 minutes. I really was going to try to keep this under half an hour, but we covered three different things. I do hope that you will bring me your feedback on whether you are a free-range creator, and if you are, what that means to you, and what are the challenges that entails for you. How do you struggle with that? And the idea of multiple origin stories and how those manifest in our creativity, in our lives, in our creative lives. I'd love to hear your thoughts. The easiest thing to do is just If you're watching on YouTube, just comment there. If you'd like to be a little more private about what you share with me, feel free to email me at matt@mattselznick.com. Again, it's matt@mattselznick.com. I really hope to hear from you. And that's it. My name, which I've mentioned more than a few times in this particular episode, is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.